the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, forgive us.
God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
God of love, giver of life, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us and guide us in the way of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Be seated.
A reading from Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent, as well as the life of a child, is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life. Because they considered and turned away from all the transgressions that they had committed, they shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, and otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let not me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to put you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your way, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. A reading from Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. He answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your mind and believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. It's the kind of situation that church councils dream of, an offer that you just couldn't pass up. It would be a steady stream of revenue. It required no extra work from church membership. And it came at a time when funds could be used for some new ministry endeavors. Everyone sitting around the table that day glanced at each other and nodded in agreement. The answer was clear, which is no small feat for any group, right? Let alone a church council. All they had to do was allow the company to install a cell tower on the church property. "That's all," the salesperson said. "Then not only will the reception at the church dramatically improve, but you'll be receiving monthly checks for the rental of the property." They did the math in their heads. Over time, the payments would add up to a sizable bump in the budget. It was a no-brainer. The trouble was, this church, they knew their neighbors. See, St. Mark's Lutheran is nestled in an urban area in Toledo with businesses and houses all around it. And for the last couple of years, they had been making a concerted effort to build relationships with those who lived around them, to be good neighbors. It started with a micro grant that they got to feed their neighbors, and it just kind of grew out from there. And so now they host neighborhood dinners, and they run food pantries and programming for kids and mentorship programs. They even bless motorcycles at the annual church picnic. And that, it shifted. It changed their relationship with their neighbors. See, they knew their faces now. They knew their names. The man who lives down the street, the children who ride their bicycles in the church parking lot, the mother who comes to the pantry with her babies. And that knowledge, it complicated this situation. This otherwise simple business, yes, with a question that just wouldn't leave these church leaders alone. What would their neighbors want? And so they did something really radical. They asked them. They gathered their neighbors together and they laid out the proposal. And then they said, "What do you think?" And they just listened. They listened to the concerns of their neighbors. What do you think? What should they do? Don't you hate it when God wears on your perfectly reasonable, calculated decisions? No, I can't help. No, I won't go. Nah, that isn't my problem. That isn't my gift. Let someone else do it. Our answers are really clear. But then somehow in the gap between the declaration and the doing, God just works on us. You know, God works on our hearts. Anyone ever been worked on by God? I'm seeing some giggles and nods, yeah? What do you think? Jesus asks. A man had two sons. He went to the first son and told him, "Son, go out for the day and work in my vineyard." But the son answered, "I don't want to." But later, he had a change of heart. He thought better of it, and he went. The father gave the same command to the second son. He answered, "Sure, glad to, Dad." But then he never went. Which of the two sons did what the father asked? It's the kind of question that's sort of meant to wear on us. See, the trouble is, the answer, it's pretty obvious. I mean, this isn't one of those parables that requires deep, deep explanation or pages and pages of commentary to even know what's happening. We get it right away. It was the son who said no, but who in the end changed his mind. Actually, the word that's used to describe the change is not the same word as repentance. The word is about changing what one cares about. It's about changing what you're concerned for. It's a transformation that leads to a new relationship or a new action. And it seems to be less about doing something big or radical and more about being faithful to the one that you serve. What's fascinating about this parable to me is that the one that we're called to emulate is this first son, the one who's far from perfect, right? The one who begins by doing the exact opposite of what the father tells him to do. He declares, "I will not help. I will not go." He just has a change of heart. God works on him, and that work, it changes, and it's certainly not too late for us. That past actions have not destined our future. That our God is always still working on us. That we can listen and we can change our minds. That our world is pregnant with the possibility of receiving new grace. That our relationships with God and with each other, they can always be transformed. For so long, we've convinced ourselves that we're incapable of change. And sometimes I think in our churches and our communities, we've practiced kind of digging in our heels, as if being unmoved by God and unchanged by our place is something we should aspire to. But I think these parables invite us to imagine how God is always transforming us through relationship. We will not save ourselves through our own initiative. This isn't about works righteousness. This isn't about reaching some ideal of perfection. We don't have to. Thanks be to God, saving the world is God's business. But listening and serving in the fields that we're called to, well, that's our work to do. We get to be the ones who listen to God's call and do the faithful daily work that God asks us to do in all the vineyards that we've been planted in. So pay attention when you feel God working on you. You know, my favorite part of working in the synod isn't any of the big stuff. It isn't the ceremonial moments or all the big meetings. It's witnessing the small faithful acts that people do to serve in the communities in which they've been planted. And then watching the Holy Spirit use those moments. I mean, people do the really simple things. They plant a seed, or they post a video, or they paint on cloth. They sign up for a class. And then the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does best, and before you know it, it has grown to something that no one could have dreamed up or orchestrated of their own fruition. Something that testifies to the fact that our God is surprising and expansive and life-giving. A woman applies for a small grant and plants some seeds in Swanton in the midst of a season of immense loss in her community. And years down the road, their new pastor stands in an outdoor sanctuary with pollinators wrapped around it and vegetables that they freely share with their neighbors living in Toledo. A pastor in Cardington who loves to talk and teach and maybe just maybe, right, banter a little about theology, posts a video on Twitter. And now he's engaging and having deep theological conversations with people who have felt distanced from the church. An artist from Napoleon teaches folks with disabilities how to paint on cloth. And now they're painting huge murals on the sides of buildings all over the town. A rogue effort to educate just a few lay leaders through diaconia helps some people discover their gifts. And then they lead in their churches. And some even go on to be pastors. And that little program that was on the edge of the synod grows into something that is now gathering 40 people who meet every Thursday night on hybrid classes that span across synodical boundaries. You can't dream those things up. The Holy Spirit dreams them up. And I could go on and on and on. In fact, I think maybe it's my job, my privilege, to tell you the stories. Because they remind us that God is still active. They help us listen to God's voice speaking to us and calling us to serve in our own way, in our own vineyards, to let our hearts continually be transformed. And so the question is, how's God working on you? St. Mark's Toledo never installed the cell tower. It wasn't a question about right or wrong or good or bad for them. It wasn't about politics or finances or medical studies. The moment revealed that their hearts, their priorities had shifted in the midst of this relationship. What had become most important to them was that they were the kind of people that listened to the concerns of their neighbors. And if the neighbors didn't believe it was good for them, then it wasn't good for St. Mark's. They were changed by their relationship with the community that God had planted them. And I, for one, cannot say where that change will lead them. I mean, only the Holy Spirit knows, right? But I would guess that it will lead them into deeper relationship with God and continually with their community. That's going to look different in every community. But what's important for all of us is that we never underestimate the power of being changed, transformed by our God. Especially when that leads us to serve in the vineyards in which God has planted us. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. We put our trust in you as we pray for the church. Give bishops, pastors, deacons, and teachers the gifts of wisdom and discernment. Be with them in bold truth and faithful witness. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Lead us in your truth as we pray for creation. Empower us to look to the interests of others as we make choices that impact the environment. Merciful God, lead us in justice as we pray for those in government, the military, and other positions of authority. Give them humble and willing hearts, looking to the needs of others. We pray also for our enemies. Merciful God, trusting your goodness, we pray for all caregivers and people who are sick or suffering in any way, especially those impacted by the wildfires in Maui, Hawaii, the hurricanes in the South and East Coast, the earthquake in Morocco, and the flooding in Libya. Charlie, Justin, Susie, Scott and Connie, Donna, Robert, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Scott, Pat, Dixon, John, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Carolyn, Phyllis, Dave, Donna, Melina, Harry, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Bill, the family of Art Ruth, Mary, Carol, Tracy's family, and our homebound. Give them encouragement and consolation in your presence. Merciful God, teach us your paths as we pray for this congregation. Be at work in us and unite us in your love as we labor together for the sake of the gospel. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We give thanks for all the saints who died, secure in the knowledge of salvation, especially Art Ruth. Keep us fearless in our faith and certain of your resurrection. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light, you nourished the lands with water, you molded us in your image, and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. That also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit, you call to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us and this meal your Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions, as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing, until needy no longer, and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb, through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O Living One, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I invite forward those who will help with the distribution of the sacrament and those who are participating in Children's Church this morning. We will distribute the sacrament kneeling around the altar. An usher will have trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. We have both consecrated wine and grape juice. Pastor Sarah will have the chalice of consecrated wine. Deborah will have the chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. I'd like to call forward those who are bringing communion to our homebound member. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive this sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd like to give thanks for Pastor Sarah Schaff to be here with us. Some of you may remember her as Pastor St. Paul's in Waldo, where we were kind of partners in crime for a few years. But we give thanks for your work as Director of Community Engagement and our Director of Evangelical Mission in the Northwest Ohio Synod. So thank you for being here. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John. Strengthen in the sacraments. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.